in this passage of Scripture that our pastor just read, verse 23. Our Lord said, I in them, thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. I was talking with Brother Todd Nybert the other day when we were there, and we were talking about this. Somehow in our minds we think that God tolerates us for Christ's sake. No. In the Lord Jesus Christ, He loves us as He loves Christ. Now that's just it's so, but I'm telling you, that is more than I can grasp. Thank you, Brother Scott. Turn with me to Romans 16. We're coming to the last, we started it last time I was here, talking about a woman named Phoebe. And I want to pick up in verse 3 and go through verse 7, Lord willing. And I want to speak for just a few minutes on the evidence of God's grace. Now, these verses, if you look at them, they're verses 3 to 7, and I'll just look at that, look at, Lord willing, the next set of names the next time. Actually, what it is Paul is writing to the church at Rome, and he's listing a group of people, listing a group of names, various people that he knew or knew of. I'd say knew. You know, it might appear strange that the Scriptures, this inspired letter, written under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, for the edification, for the instruction of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ till the end of time, would be taken up with what some, obviously, and even us in our frail flesh, would consider to be almost insignificant. Just a group of people. But remember, all Scripture, all of it, given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, or for proof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. May the Spirit of God be pleased to teach us today as we look at some of these people, things that are said about them, that we might learn and be educated in this blessed portion of Scripture. Paul says, number one, in verses 3 and 4, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Now we know this. God has a people chosen in Him. A people that God Almighty has everlastingly loved in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, you just read, Brother Scott. He said, may I have, may I come, I will, that I be returned to the glory that I had with you before the world was. Now we know that there is a man, the man, Christ Jesus, God-man, who sits upon the throne. He's always sat on the throne. He said, let me go back and read that. I will. Let me see if I can find it. Verse 5. And now, John 17:5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Somehow we think that there was a change in him. No. He's always been our surety. He's always been our federal head. We've always been married to him. God never changes. Triune God. And here the Lord Jesus Christ prays, glorify thou me with the glory that I had with you before the world was. God Almighty has always had a people chosen in, represented by the Lord Jesus Christ. How was he slain from the foundation of the world if he wasn't? See what I'm saying? Paul says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ. Paul knew their names. Paul recognized their work. But Almighty God, in his infinite mercy and compassion, he said, I knew you before the foundation of the world. Listen to what he told Jeremiah, Jeremiah 1:5. Before... Someone says, how is a child brought into being? Well, a man and a woman, they have a baby. Their conception. So the Scripture says, before I formed you in the belly, I knew thee. Knew him in mercy. Knew him in grace. Knew his name. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Almighty God rules. He reigns. Think of all of the power and the wisdom and the might that it took before Jeremiah and before you and me and everybody else. And this couple met, married, and this couple, and this couple, and this couple, and had that child, and this child, this child, and it came down to Jeremiah. This world not ham scam. I'm telling you, Almighty God rules. In the army of heaven, among the inhabitants of the earth. And Paul says, who for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Here's the ultimate expression of love. The Lord said, John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And he said, I'm your friend. Oh, what a friend. One that he said sticks closer than a brother. Everybody else will forsake you. He said, I won't. It's never recorded that Priscilla and Aquila actually died for the apostle, but what they did is they acted in such a manner as to expose themselves and their lives to danger for Christ's sake and for Paul, their friend. Listen, the love of the brethren for each other, it gives, it forgives, it sacrifices, and it continues. It's sincere. You love the brethren. The brethren love the brethren. You love them for Christ's sake. You recognize that God's done something for them as He's done something for you. There's a camaraderie that this world doesn't know anything about. The brother, a brother, a sister in Christ. What would you do for them? Whatever you could. Even to the giving of your own life? Yes, you would. Yes, you would. How many have? How many do now? This action of Priscilla and Aquila, it was nothing short of their duty. I mean, that was their duty before God. They're servants. Paul says, I give thanks, and also the churches of the Gentiles. What did this couple, for the sake of Christ, for the sake of Paul, their brother in Christ, what did they do for him in helping him? It's not recorded exactly what they did, but God knows. And what they did, Paul profited, and he said the churches of the Gentiles did too. We all have. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5, likewise greet the church that's in their house. Obviously, the Lord had raised up a group of believers in that place. There's a miracle of God's grace. God would raise up an assembly. I never cease to be amazed that God Almighty would raise up an assembly and here and keep it here. What has maintained this assembly right here? The power of God. That's the only reason. Almighty God was pleased over 50-something years ago to raise up an assembly in Katy, West Virginia, of which I've said so many times, man, there's just not much here. But there's a church that God has raised up and maintained, an assembly. Sent a faithful pastor here. Back in 1950s, kept him. Greet the church that's in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Here's another manifestation of God's grace. He says, salute my well-beloved. Believers do for each other because they love them. You do. This by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. You have love one for the other. And it's not fake. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And we do what we do because Almighty God has evidently shed His love in our heart. And we do toward each other. Salute Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Now, when we find the word first fruits, we realize that going back to the first fruits of the harvest, whenever there was the first fruits, that was back in the Old Testament, it was sacrificed unto the Lord. It was given as a thanks offering. But what those first fruits were was actually a promise that there was going to be additional fruit that would follow. So this man, Epaphroditus, who Paul refers to as the first fruits of Achaia under Christ, he was obviously a symbol, a representative of God's promise to show mercy to that community. I could use this church again right now. I could go back and start talking about some that were here. If I'm not mistaken, I think Brother Scott, you and Glenn and Gene, I think y'all were some of the absolute first and they're still here. First fruits. Almighty God would call out some. And there they were, first fruits unto Christ of a promise that God would raise up. I think about how few there are in places all over this country. But God would call out a group right here. Isn't that a miracle of God's grace? I mean, think about it. Carol, that's just a... I mean, here's a group. Here's a bunch. It's just a remnant according to grace throughout everywhere. And here's a... Paul says, greet, salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Verse 6, greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. You know, there is, obviously, according to the Scriptures, a forbearance on what can and can't be done. God will forbid women. He doesn't allow them to preach, stand in the pulpit and preach. But women throughout the Scriptures labored in the gospel. And whatever this woman's labor was, greet Mary, Paul said, who bestowed much labor on us. I want you to turn with me to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Beautiful passage of Scripture here. What this woman did, here again, is not listed. Obviously, the Spirit of God saw fit that we wouldn't be told what she did. But there was a passage of Scripture that I read this morning, Matthew 26 and verse 6, starting in verse 6, about a woman. And it says, Matthew 26, 6, now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. Now, in this passage of Scripture, what's her name? We're not told. The Lord didn't tell us her name. It was a woman. But when, verse 8, his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Oh, how much we by nature place value on that which is worth nothing. You could have taken that and sold it, made a few extra bucks. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble you the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. And in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily, I say unto you, whithersoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. What was her name? God knows. What did she do? She poured an ointment out of an alabaster box. And the Scripture says it'll be a memorial unto her. How many in this congregation this morning has heard that story? What was her name? It doesn't matter. She did what she could. Paul says back in Romans 16:6, greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Whatever it was, the apostle knew it. God Almighty knew it. And now we know that whatever she did for the glory of God. Verse 7, salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Now, I don't know for a fact, but the insinuation is that this was a couple, man and wife. But they may have been and probably were, when he says my kinsmen, probably were related to Paul. Oh, I tell you, it's not always that the Lord calls out more than one in a particular family. That is so often the case. That out of any given family, you think about it, I'll bet you, if I ask for a show of hands, I'll bet you that a majority of those that sit here, when you think about your family, that family that you came out, you from a child raised up, how many, there was only one. Could have been. But not always. Sometimes the Lord is pleased to bless in a particular family. That Almighty God would call any out of darkness is a miracle of His grace. But here, Paul was blessed to have a couple that was his kinsmen, relatives. And also, he says, my fellow prisoners, prisoners of the Lord, servants of the Most High God, bond slaves, you that know Him, is it not the highest calling to realize that you are His servant? Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Paul gave the title of being a servant first. That Almighty God would make him an apostle was by the grace of God, but that God would make him a servant, that God would call him out of darkness. Fellow prisoners. And respected, they are of note among the apostles. They were held in great account, well thought of. Their faithfulness was noted. A believer talks like and acts like a believer. They're consistent, consistent, consistent. He said they're of note among the apostles. Paul says, who also were in Christ before me. Now, being in Christ means to have a fixed position of rest. That's what it means. In Christ. In Adam all die. That means in Adam having a fixed position of death in Adam. Now, being chosen in the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole church of God had their being and well-being. All God's people were chosen in Christ. It wasn't some were put in and then some put in later. No. He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. So, as far as being chosen in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're all chosen one time by God's grace. So, what does Paul mean when he says concerning these two, his kinsmen, who were in Christ before me? They were called out of darkness, and they knew it. and recognized it before Paul did. Each individual member of the Lord's church does not know about their well-being in Christ until God Almighty calls them out of darkness. But I'll tell you this, their ignorance of God's mercy toward them does not mean that that mercy was not there. They just didn't know it. You know that we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. We've not been put in, and then another one put in, or let's say when they exercise their free will, the recording angel records their name. No. That won't fly according to Scripture, and you know it. The Scripture says in Revelation, I think it's Revelation 17, if I'm not mistaken, whose names were written in the book of life from before the foundation of the world. So no names are entered after another one. But the Scripture says that these right here who were in Christ, their recognition or realization of being in Christ. There may be one sitting here this morning who hears the gospel and has a mental understanding of the gospel. They understand 5 points of Calvinism. They understand something of they'll agree with you. I understand man is totally depraved. And they wouldn't go and they wouldn't sit under a message that exalts man and talks about man's free will, and they wouldn't. If they're going to come, they'll come right here. They'll hear it. They'll come here. They've got a mental understanding of it, but no love for it. Christ is not their life. It's okay when I have time, but I got stuff. They have no heart for it. And may be one of the Lord's elect. May be one of God's own. And they're sitting and they have a mental understanding with no heart. And peradventure, that's a biblical word, perhaps. Today, perhaps. The Lord in His mercy and grace, as Paul said, when it pleased God to reveal Christ in me. Perhaps today, God Almighty, as He did Lydia, He may just open her heart. May just open your heart. And all of a sudden you realize, I never knew Him before now. And you then realize God's mercy toward you. And you look around and you realize there were some that were in Christ before you. They knew Him before you did. That's what Paul's talking about right here. They were in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ always has stood in the relationship of the federal head and surety of all His people. And they've always stood in Him. But in time, He calls them out. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. So being in Christ, before the foundation of the world, the bride has always been covenanted for, looked upon, mercy, compassion. But Paul says that this couple, Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the Gentiles, he said they knew the Lord before I did. That's what he's saying. They were aware. In closing, I want you to turn to Matthew 20 And let me show you something about being in Christ at different times. Matthew 20, verse 1 to verse 16. For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers in his vineyard. And when he agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard, and he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth hour, ninth hour, did likewise. About the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I'm good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. If I be not mistaken on this particular parable, the Lord came to the Jews first. The gospel was sent to them first. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this world, lost sheep of Israel. But he always purposed to go to the Gentiles. And there were some that God had chosen in his kingdom before the foundation of the world. And all of the work, the labor, the preaching, those that were here first, by the grace of God, did they deserve any more than the last Gentile that'll be called out of darkness? Did they deserve any more? It was by the grace of God. Whenever Almighty God is pleased to call out any, those that were called out first that bore the brunt of the day, what do they deserve more than the one that was called the 11th hour? We are what we are by the grace of God. What they got was exactly what they had agreed upon. What shall we all receive? Life. What more shall we need? We have life in Him. I'm telling you, if Almighty God calls out a Moses and sends him through, or a Abraham or a Paul, and they go through all of their life, and Almighty God is pleased to bring them to Himself, they shall have Christ. And if there's a thief on the cross, and that thief on the cross, in his last dying moments, is called out of darkness, he'll have Christ. And he will realize as all God's people realize. But for the grace of God, where would I be? I pray that God be pleased to call His own out of darkness. I pray God be pleased to save those that He's everlastingly loved. Some would say, well, I know He's going to do that. I remember that message we looked at a couple of weeks ago on prayer. You ask what God has said He's going to do. I will have mercy. I will give a new heart. I will bless the corn. I'll keep the famine from you. But I will be inquired of. Are you fearful for the economy? Well, if you ask me according to my flesh, yeah, I kick it around. I think about it. Is that believing God? Ask Him. Lord, keep me. Lord, bless me. Lord, sustain me by Your grace and mercy, for Christ's sake. Okay, Gary.